for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, May the 26th, 1996. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma is the speaker of the evening. All right, we'll turn the rest of the evening to Brother Tommy Cook, and he'll close the service and dismiss us, and we'll see you all tomorrow morning for prayer meeting and for the morning service. Brother Tommy.
Let's stand together.
Praise the Lord.
I may want to do a little exercise. Get awake tonight. Lift your hands. Come on. Amen. Shake your feet. Whatever you need to do. Get awake. If you're sleepy back there. If you're tired back there. Amen. Come on. Praise the Lord. Shake yourself. Amen. Let's get awake tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Father, we thank you for this night. Thank you for your word. Lord, let it go forth in your anointing. Let us say only that which you want us to say. We humble ourselves before you. Without you, we're nothing. We can do nothing, say nothing apart from you. Help us to hear what you're saying tonight in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Let me enjoy the meetings today. Amen. Let's give the Lord a good hand for today. Amen.
Praise God.
I enjoyed the meetings. Praise the Lord. God's setting his people free. You believe that? Amen. I believe that. Praise the Lord. I went to Iceland several years ago, and first time I went there, and I laid down on this bed. And when I laid down, I looked up to the ceiling, praying or whatever, and I saw a serpent come out of the ceiling, about a foot long and about a half a inch wide. And it glared at me, and I rebuked it, and it left. And as I laid on that same bed, the Lord began to speak to me about something. And these seven things I'm going to tell you, first of all, I see it in Jesus. But he spoke to me about Samuel. How many know Samuel was a prophet? And the scripture said God didn't let any of his words fall to the ground. How many remember that? He was a mighty man of God. We know he was given to the Lord as a child. He was a man-child. Brother Smith, I think, touched on that the other night. And he was a real man of God. But as I lay on that bed, the Lord said to me about Samuel. He said to me, he was a man-child. And you know that's found in Revelation chapter 12, verse 5. Second thing he said to me, he said he was a priest. And how many know that we are kings, called to be kings and priests tonight? Amen? And thirdly, he said to me, he was an intercessor. And Ezekiel 9 talks about those who cry and sigh against the abominations that are in the land. And how many know there's some abominations in the church as well as in the land? Can you say amen? And so God's called us to be an intercessor. I believe the sons of God are going to be intercessors, or are intercessors. And God's going to seal them because of it as well. And then the Lord said to me, he was a judge. And Obadiah said that saviors shall come up on Mount Zion. How many has ever read that? Amen? To judge Esau, the flesh. Hallelujah. And so God's raising up judges in the land. Let me know if you read the book of Judges, you read about judges. Hallelujah. And they judge things. And then the Lord said he was a prophet. He was a prophet. Revelation 11, God's raising up two prophets, not two men, but they are the overcomers. Revelation 11 are overcomers, not just two people. I was taught it was two people. But they are sons of fresh oil, Zechariah chapter 4 says. How many want some fresh oil tonight? How many need it? We all need it, don't we? We need some freshness, come on, to blow into the church. Amen? How many know God blew into Pentecost there in the upper room? Amen? That with that wind, mighty, rushing, mighty wind. Isn't that right? And I want him to blow again on my life and in my life. Hallelujah. This is a new day, a new time. Somebody say amen. We need some new wind, new breath. Come on, new oil. Fresh oil. from the Holy Ghost. And then the Lord said to me, he was first fruits of the womb. And he was, because Hannah had had no children up to that time. And how many know he's raising a first fruit company in this hour? Jesus was first fruits. Of course, he was all these. And yet he's raising up first fruits. Those who come to fruition are maturity first. How many want to come to maturity in this hour? And it's a process, isn't it? And then he said to me, he's the firstborn. He was the firstborn in his family. And the Bible said that Jesus, of course, was the firstborn one. And yet over in Hebrews, come on, we've come to Mount Zion, right? To the church of what? Of the firstborn, literally the firstborn ones, plural. And so we thank God tonight. He's raising up a firstborn. He's raising up first fruits. He's raising up prophets. He's raising up intercessors. He's raising up kings and priests. He's raising up judges. And he's raising up a man-child. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I thank God for this message that he put in my heart. I never asked for it. He gave it to me. Praise the Lord. And I'm learning every day. How many know we're all learning? We don't have all the truth. Nobody does. But we can have a love for it. And we need the love for truth. Can you say amen? And if you study the Old Testament, you see many types of the man-child. First, I said in Samuel. You see it in Samson. Gideon's 300. Ezekiel's army. Elijah. Elisha. It's a picture of this people. Joel's army. The 144,000 in Revelation. The two witnesses in Revelation 11. Moses. Joshua. Zion itself. First fruits. The stone cut out of the mountain without hands. Melchizedek. Saviors upon Mount Zion. The five wise virgins, the saints of the Most High, Daniel talks about. Enoch is a picture of these sons. The man-child of Revelation 12:5, the overcomers, and David and his mighty men. So there's many types. There's many types of the man-child in the Old Testament. Can you say amen? Praise God. And we know that Mary, the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and put that divine seed in her womb. And God is overshadowing the church today, her womb. And her womb is the soul. Hallelujah. How many God's know that God's doing a work in our soul tonight? Amen? Hallelujah. He's doing a work in us. And that work in your soul is a product of what God's done in your spirit. And we just open up to him. Amen? And that what's done in your spirit moves up into your mind, will, emotions, and desires, and begins to change you and me. And that's the battle's in the mind, isn't it? Somebody say amen. Praise God. Now, the seven barren women in Scripture. There were seven barren women for a period of time. Number one was Sarah. She was barren. And then they had a child. After God told her that they'd have a child, about 25 years went by before they had the child. Rebecca was another one. Rebecca was number two. Number three is Rachel. Rachel. All these women were barren for a period of time. Number four was Hannah, who had Samuel. Number five, the mother Samson, which we do not know her name. Number six was Elizabeth, the mother of John. Who's number seven? The church. The church has been barren. Somebody say amen. We brought forth Ishmael too long, brethren. God wants an Isaac. The church has brought forth Ishmael. God wants an Isaac. And I'm going to show you this. Look over in the book of Romans, chapter 7. A man called me and I preached in Macon, Georgia. I taught 14 messages, I believe it was. But God gave him a scripture when God told him to call me, to have me to come. And this is one of the scriptures he gave him. He gave him two scriptures. But in Romans 7 and verse 4, wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit, come on, unto God. How many know God's wanting some fruit in the earth? And I can give you a lot of scriptures on that. I've preached on it. One time, Bill and I were in Texas preaching. I was preaching there. And right before I went to the pulpit, a young boy who would see some visions, he saw right over the pulpit in gold letters the word sonship. He didn't even know what it meant. How many know God will show you things you don't even know? Isn't that right? And so coming home that night, he asked his mother, what was sonship? Well, I just preached on it. That night, he didn't know what I was going to preach on. But he saw that word sonship in gold letters. He saw, in fact, he had several visions that night. And so we began to explain to him about sonship. And so he began to understand, of course, after that a little bit. But God wants fruit. In John 15, he talks about fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Hallelujah. God wants fruit in you and I, from you and I. Now, let's go over to the to some scriptures here that I want to take you. And turn to Revelation 12. I want to touch some things here in Revelation 12 tonight. I've got a lot of things I'd like to say. Praise God. How many thank God for the Word tonight? Thank God for His Word. You know, even as a child, God put this book in my heart. And but how many know you got to study all the Bible, except just not just Revelation? Thank God for the book of Revelation, but we need it all, don't we? Revelation chapter 12, and notice something. Verse 1. John seeing a vision, and he said, there appeared a great wonder in heaven. How many know heaven's the realm of the Spirit? If you die tonight, come on, you go to heaven, don't you? You go into the realm of Spirit. Isn't that right? The Spirit realm. Your spirit goes into that realm. Praise God. And we know there's a kingdom of heaven, there's a kingdom of God. And how many know there's no difference in either one of them? People make a difference, but there's no difference. Heaven's where it's at, and God's over that kingdom. How many know the kingdom's in us tonight? And yet God's the kingdom, the Lord's the kingdom, and yet He's going to bring His kingdom to the earth. Praise God. How many believe that? He's going to set His kingdom up here on the earth, whether we believe it or not. Amen. But anyway, there appeared, it doesn't matter what we think anyway, does it? There appeared a great wonder, a great sign in heaven. A woman is clothed with the S-U-N, and the moon's under her feet, and upon her head there's a crown of 12 stars. Praise God. How many believe that God's going to bring us into some glory? Come on. You believe that? Amen. And this sun, S-U-N, how many know Malachi talks about that S-U-N, rising with healing in his wings? And the sun speaks of his glory, speaks of his covering, speaks of his righteousness, it speaks of Christ, it speaks of the Holy Ghost. It is the same as the S-O-N. Hallelujah. I mean, thank God that he's clothing us tonight with his glory, with his light, with his power. You could go on and on. God's doing that. He promised he would do that because he said, the same glory, Father, that I had with you before the world, I want it to be in those that they might be one. Praise God. And he's going to make us one whether we want to be one or not. Isn't that right? Amen. If we submit to him. Praise God. And so I could show you a lot of scriptures on that there. The Bible said the sons of God in Matthew 13 are going to shine as the sun. I mean, oh, Jesus' face shone like the sun on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's going to bring us to transfiguration, a transformation. Come on, a change. If we allow him. Can you say amen? Amen. And I want to be changed. Amen? Amen. Praise God. I mean, you can get changed by getting demons cast out. But how many of you can get a change by repenting? You can get a change by dying to self. He can change us in many ways, can't he? Amen. Now, in the Old Testament, chapter Genesis, 34, whatever. How many know there was the same vision given to Joseph about the sun, moon, and stars? Now, a lot of people try to put that vision over here, but it won't work. It will not work. How many know the sun in the Old Testament represented the father, Jacob? The moon represented the mother. And there were 11 other sons beside Joseph, and he saw them coming and bowing down to him. You remember that vision? Amen? Praise God. But you bring this into the New Testament, the S-U-N is not Jacob. It's not Abraham. Come on. It's not Isaac. It is Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. And how many know he is the Son? Amen. And the moon here speaks of a church order. Praise God. Now, how many know there's a lot of counterfeits today? Brother Coffey and I were talking tonight. I believe there's some counterfeit deliverance. Come on now. I believe there are people sometimes fake it when it's not the real. I thank God for the real. Amen? But I know there's counterfeit in anything. Praise God. But this moon speaks of a church order, which I'll touch on maybe in a minute. And these 12 stars speak of 12 apostles. 12 apostles. And I'm going to touch on that in just a minute. But how many know it says here in verse 1 that this woman's clothed with what now? Come on, help me now. The sun. And what's under her feet? And what's on her head? Crown of how many? 12 stars. 12 stars. Now, how many know the moon has no light of itself? No, it doesn't. No light. It's how many know it's artificial light? There's second-hand light. Amen? And I want to tell you something. Here, the light is not shining on the moon. It's shining on the woman, isn't it? Is that right? The sun's on the woman, not on the moon. The moon's under her feet. Praise God. Now, how many thank God? How many thank God tonight for church government? But first of all, what I see here is glory. Before church government, we need the glory of God. And from the glory of God, we need some authority and dominion over our enemies, or whatever we're overcoming. And thirdly, there were a crown of 12 stars upon her head, which speaks of divine government or apostolic government that's going to be in this church. And before Jesus comes, this church will be in divine government, whether we like it or not. Somebody say amen. There's going to be apostles, prophets, teachers, shepherds, and evangelists. We've looked to one man many times too long. And not against shepherds. I'm a shepherd myself. But we need, come on, apostles and prophets and shepherds and teachers and evangelists in our local churches. Amen. And we need the traveling brethren coming through by the Spirit. Amen. That God sends our way. Hallelujah. And so we just got to get ready for it. God's going to change the whole face of the church. And how many know it's going to be some drastic things He's going to say and do? Amen? And I can see prophets walk into churches and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Whatever God's going to say. How many know somebody better get in order? Get the house in order. That's right, Bill. Praise God. God's got prophets going to speak the word of the Lord. Without favor, come on, you can't buy them off. Amen? They're going to be sent by God. Now, the 12 stars on the head of this woman represents authority, power, and life from God, of course, moving into the church. Divine or apostolic government, as I said. The crown represents royalty. It makes a woman a queen. Hallelujah. But I tell you, there's a false queen in Revelation 18 called the harlot. But God has a queen coming forth. Amen. With a crown upon her head with 12 stars in it. Hallelujah. How many know that the apostles started the travail way back there in the early church? Let me show it to you. Go to John 16 just a second. John chapter 16. How many thank God there's been those that went before us, who's paved the way? Come on, paid a price. Somebody say amen. Amen. They paid a price, brethren. Thank you, Jesus. In John chapter 16, verse 21, Jesus said, go back to verse 20. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful. But your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in what? Come on. Travail. Is this woman that God's talking about Revelation going to be in travail? Listen, there's coming a travail yet that you and I don't even know anything about right now. We may know about some travail. But I'm telling you, there's a travail going to hit the church like we've not seen yet. And Jesus said right here, she's in travail. A woman has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she's delivered of a child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Hallelujah. Now look at that word in there. You got the word child, and on down you got the word man. Man, child. Hallelujah. God is bringing forth a man-child by travail. Can somebody say amen? Praise God. So, Jesus was speaking to the apostles here. And so I believe that they started this great travail. Hallelujah. Way back there. Now, I believe that the church is going to come into light. The order of light, L-I-G-H-T. She's the wife
of the King.
Hallelujah. And I told someone today, how many know when you get saved, you're part of the family of God, but you're not in the bride of Christ yet? How many know you hear some people talking that you just put everybody together, you know, in one lump? But how many know that isn't true? You're part of the family of God, sure. And then from that, you move into the bride of Christ. But out of the bride of Christ will come the sons of God. Now, we thank God for all, whatever level we're on tonight. None of us have reached perfection. None of us have moved into that higher echelon yet. But God is moving upon people today, amen, to move towards that goal. Can you say amen? Amen. And so, but I want to tell you something. The church has not reached this position yet. The church has not come to this place yet. Now, God's moving upon this woman. He's moving upon this church. And yet we see a lot of work yet to be done. Here's what it says in Song of Solomon 6:10. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? Praise God. I mean, believe there's an army in heaven as well as an army God's putting together here. God's going to bring us together. Can you say amen? Now, this moon speaks of the old order. It's a church system. And it speaks of a church that always takes its light from the sun and reflects it. But again, it's an imitator of the true. It's an imitation. But this woman, this church, this bride, I mean, oh, she came out of that moon church. I mean, thank God you come out of some things. But do you want to go back to it? No. How many know our eyes have been opened some? Praise God. Amen? And so the moon is under her foot. That's her footstool. And there's some things you've got to put on your feet and leave them there. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. And so this woman, being overshadowed by the sun, her husband, Christ, she is pregnant and she's going to bring forth a man child. Hallelujah. In the earth. And she's no longer going to be a woman church system, which is soulish. And how many know there's a lot of soulishness in all of us? Come on, amen. We all need some deliverance from soulishness. Isn't that right? Praise God. But she's going to have the ability to give forth the seed of life. Amen. And she's going to bring forth a masculine church that's going to give forth light and life. Hallelujah to the world. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, here's what I want you to hear. Look at that verse again there. You'll see that she's clothed with the sun, right? The moon's under her feet, and 12 stars and a crown's on her head. And I said it this way, and I want you to hear what I said. This bride is a church pregnant with the church, the overcomers, standing on the old church order, the moon. Who heard that? This church, this bride, this woman, this sun-clothed woman is pregnant with the church, the sons of God, the overcomers, standing on the old church order or the moon. Praise God. How many heard it? Now, how many know heaven's a busy place? The kingdom of God is a busy place. In Revelation 12, it talks about a great wonder in heaven, right? Twice. The woman and the dragon. Then it said the tail cast down stars from heaven. It said the man child was caught up to the throne. And the Lord said the throne, heaven was his throne. Remember that scripture? There's many of them in the scriptures. There was war in heaven. Neither was there place found anymore in heaven for Satan and his angels. There was a loud voice in heaven. I'm talking about chapter 12, all these things. And it said, rejoice you heavens and you that dwell in them. So heaven is a busy place. The heavenlies. Hallelujah. And as our sister said today, there is war in heaven. Isn't that right? Now, turn to Leviticus just a minute. How many of you know there's an overshadowing here? Huh? What was the woman overshadowed with? Come on. The sun. Who's the sun? It's the sun. Come on, it's Christ, isn't it? Okay, Leviticus 16. Back here, verse 12 and 13. It says, speaking of the high priest going into the Holy of Holies once a year, he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar. And notice, before the Lord, his hands, and notice the word hands, it means two, are double hands full. I mean, no, that's a double portion. Anybody want to enter the Holy of Holies? It's going to take a double hands full, isn't it? Come on. Amen. Not just praising the Lord while we're in good meetings like this, wherever you are. Isn't that right? And notice his hands full of sweet incense. Anybody want to get sweet tonight? Prayer will make you sweet. Stay away from it. How many know you'll get bitter? And notice it's beaten small. And you know, how many know God knows how to bring us down, as our brother said this afternoon? Huh? Amen. But as we begin to take the incense, brethren, and begin to pray and worship and seek the Lord, we become small. God becomes great. And notice, bring it within the veil, and he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord. And notice this, the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony that he die not. So this cloud covered that holy of holies, didn't it? It covered the mercy seat. As he walked in there, the cloud covered it. Hallelujah. How many want to be under the cloud? Thank God for the cloud tonight. How many know there was a baptism in water, Red Sea, baptism in the cloud? Amen. Baptism in the Holy Ghost, and baptism in Jordan, baptism of fire. The first one, man ducks you under the water. The second one, how many know Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost? And the third baptism is the baptism into Christ. The Holy Ghost takes you into the body of Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Now, look in Psalms 91. Just a couple more scriptures here on this before we go back. Psalms 91. How many thank God Jesus is our covering tonight? He that dwelleth in the secret place. The word secret is seter. He that dwelleth. Sit. That word dwelleth means to sit down. How many want to sit down in the Holy of Holies tonight? Praise God. He that will sit down in seter. He that will sit down in the Holy of Holies. In the secret place. Notice, of the Most High. Shall what? Abide. That word abide means a lodging place for the night. I want to tell you, night's coming. Tribulation's coming. Darkness is coming upon that world. But we don't have to be in it. Can you say amen? And notice, under the shadow of what? The Almighty. And that word under means submission. So we submit to that shadow, that effulgence, that glory of God. Let me read it this way. He that will sit down in the Holy of Holies of the Most High shall have a lodging place for the night under the shadow or the effulgence or the glory of the Almighty. Hallelujah. That's the overshadowing. Now let's go to another one. Luke 1. Luke chapter 1. Praise you, Jesus. Verse 26. Praise God. I really enjoyed the meetings this morning and tonight that we had today. Praise God. Luke 1:26. In the sixth month, the angel, notice, was sent from God, Gabriel, to Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And of course, the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, come on, Jesus. Hallelujah. Look now in verse 35. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the high shall overshadow thee. Shall what? Overshadow thee, Mary. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now look down to verse 42. You'll notice what was going to come forth from Mary. The fruit of thy womb. And that was Jesus. Now, let me know that the angel brought this word to Mary. And then Mary believed what the angel said. Number two. Number three, Elizabeth confirmed what the angel had said, and God performed it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm just going to say it again. The angel brought the word to Mary. She believed it. Elizabeth confirmed it, and God performed that word. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, so there's the overshadowing. And so we see again, though, in Revelation 12, this overshadowing. Let's go back and read it again. And then we're going to go into chapter 12 a little bit here. But again, I want to read it so we won't miss it. There's many scriptures I could give you. Jeremiah 31:22 is another one that you could write down. There's many on this. But here in chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, there appeared a great sign in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. She's overshadowed by the sun, the moon under her feet, upon her crown of 12 stars and so forth. So she's being overshadowed. Hallelujah. Now, Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, we know, and brought forth Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen? Now, the church is being overshadowed by the Holy Ghost again to bring forth the Christ in us, not in a physical sense, as with Mary, who had a natural child, Jesus, but in a spiritual sense, where we shall bring forth the fruit of the soul of the womb, you see. And the womb is not the natural womb, but it's out of the soul of the church, which is the same thing, which I call the womb, but it's not the natural womb. There was a womb, that Mary had, but this is the womb of the church we're talking about. And the seed was not entrusted. Listen now. The seed was not entrusted to the angel, although his name was Gabriel. Amen? I'm going to say it again. The seed was not entrusted to that angel, that mighty angel, even though his name was Gabriel. Not even the mighty Gabriel was worthy to take the seed of God and plant it into the womb of Mary. Can you hear that? Man is entrusted with the seed of the Word of God. But the precious seed of the man-child, the Christ, that's coming forth in a people to be planted in the womb of the church, which is the soul of man, is the prerogative of the Holy Ghost. God's doing it. No man will receive credit. No man will be lifted up. No man will be seen except the man. His name is Jesus. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want to show you this, people. Turn to Revelation 6. I want to go there for just a minute, then we'll go in this chapter, maybe. Chapter 6. Now, last time I was here, I taught a little on this. I've always been told that the white horse rider was Antichrist. I want to tell you that's a lie. It is not Antichrist. It is the Christ. Hallelujah. How many has been taught that white horse rider was Antichrist? Come on, raise your hands. Praise God. Thank you for your honesty. How many know white speaks of purity, innocence? And the word white means dead white. But here in chapter 6, how many is looking for some answers today? Just raise your hands if you are. When this white horse rider is raised up and goes forth, brother, the people God's raising it will have answers for you and I. Amen? It won't be any guessing game. How many believe Jesus had an answer for everything as he walked this earth? Could they trip him up? No. Could they deceive him? No. Did he know what was in man? Yes. Was he pure? Amen. I believe he's raising up a people in his image, don't you? And in his likeness. We're not there. Revelation 6. Look at verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. Seals of the mysteries of God. And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. How many know God knows how to get you out of bed real quick? And me. Huh? Amen. And it said, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. Hallelujah. And you see that white horse in Revelation 19, don't you? I mean, it said Jesus descends on a white horse, and his armies on white horses with him. And his name is called the Word of God. How many have ever read that? And the Bible said he has many crowns upon his head. Hallelujah. And so it says here, I saw this white horse. He that sat on him had a bow. Now in the book of Habakkuk, the word bow means the word. In Zechariah 10, he talks about the battle bow. Listen. This army God's raising up is going to face some battles. How many know that's true? But how many know he's already won the battles for us? We just got to carry it out. How many believe that? Amen. And said something else. There's something else. There's a bow here, and then there's a crown that was given to him. A crown was given to him. How many know a crown speaks of victory? Amen. How many know we need some more victories tonight in our life? Praise the Lord. 3. Notice what it says. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. There's only one force that can conquer, and that's the Word of God. Anybody want to be an overcomer? That's the same word for overcomer. This is God's overcomers going forth. The Word of God going forth. Amen? With a crown. With authority. Amen? With victory. Hallelujah. And it said something else here. What else did it say there? It went forth conquering and what else? To conquer. Everything is being conquered in its way. How many know when God does raise up the army of the Lord, there's nothing going to stand in that army's way? There's no devils. Come on, amen. There's no fallen angels. There's no Satan. There's no anybody who's going to stand in this army's way. Did it stand in Jesus' way? No. And it will not stand when this army is raised up. Amen. God's raising up that Elijah army to go forth in power. Amen. I mean, no, there's different crowns. Here it had one crown. There's a crown of life, the incorruptible crown. There's a crown of glory, crown of righteousness, a crown of rejoicing. God has put a crown upon these people, this army that God's going to send forth. And they're on white horses, aren't they? You read Joel, you'll see those horses. You read Zechariah 10, you'll see these horses. You read Proverbs 21, he's raised up that horse for the day of battle. Hallelujah. God. I mean, no horses speak of strength. God's raising up a strong people in the Lord. Amen. Now go to Revelation 12. Praise God. But remember this, brethren. The Holy Ghost is overshadowing this church with His glory, with His power. Amen. Look in verse 2 now. It said, she being with child cried, travailing in birth and in pain to be delivered. I have a lot of scriptures I could take you in there with that. But she's in travail. There's some Christians know nothing about travail. I may want to know more about travail, brethren. I mean, God may get you up at 12 o'clock at night or 3 o'clock in the morning. Amen? Or maybe you got an important date with something out here in the world or whatever you work, and all of a sudden God says, go back to the closet. How many know He'll speak sometimes that way? Isn't that right? Amen. And yet, this woman's going to go into travail. And notice the stages. She's with child. She's crying. She's in travail. And she's in pain. And then she's going to give birth. 5 stages. Hallelujah. We've just begun to enter into some travail. But the real hard travail, I don't believe, is yet here. Amen. It may be in some places more than here, possibly, where we live. But as we grow in the Lord, how many know that travail is going to increase? Can you say amen? I believe that. Now, it said there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, a fiery red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And notice verse 4, his tail. And the word tail means to wag. It means hindmost. We know what a tail is in the natural. But how many know the dragon is an angel, a fallen angel? He's a spirit, isn't he? And yet he has a tail. And this tail is doing something. How many know that tail is at work against the church of Jesus Christ? Amen? How many know that his face is against Jesus Christ? Hear me now. And his mouth is against Jesus. But that tail, mouth, and face is against the body of Christ, isn't it, also? Amen? We got those 3 things mentioned, chapter 12. But here it said that in verse 4, that the tail do what? How many stars? A third of the stars of heaven. Now, this was not something that happened way back there. It's something that's going to happen in our day. Did you hear what I said? Mm-hmm. I could show you many places in Revelation where the stars fell. I can show you this in Daniel chapter. We'll turn to Daniel 8. Daniel 8. How many know we've seen some stars falling lately? And how many know we need to pray that we don't fall? And we need to pray for those who do fall. Can you say amen? Daniel 8, verse 10. Notice talking about this little horn that Daniel saw. It waxed great to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the hosts and of the stars, come on, to the ground, and stamped upon them. They were overcome, brethren. These are not natural stars. These are people of God. I want to show you something. Now, watch this scripture. It said he cast down some of the hosts to the ground, right? Then look in verse 11, the latter part of verse 11. The place of his sanctuary was cast down. Verse 12, latter part, cast down truth to the ground. And latter part of verse 13, both the sanctuary and the host was to be trodden underfoot. And if you got a marginal reference, it'll take you to Revelation 11. I mean, the outer court's going to be trampled down. Do you know that? Revelation 11, 1 and 2. Anybody want to get trampled down? How many want to trample the enemy under your feet? He must be bruised under our feet, the Bible says. And yet there's a people going to be trampled down. Amen? Now, back to Revelation. One of the ways, hear me now, One of the ways that he's bringing down stars or God's people is through false prophets, isn't it? And I don't know if you believe it or not, but I believe it. There's a lot of false prophets in America. There's a lot of them on television. How many know God wants us to have some discernment and quit putting our money in some of those places? Come on, somebody shout amen. Amen. Praise God. But in chapter 12 here, where he said, the tail do the third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. The dragon stood before the woman that was ready to be what? Delivered to devour a child as soon as it was born. Now, he's standing before the woman, before the church. He's not after the church at this point. He's after the man-child. He's after these overcomers. That's who he wants to destroy. I mean, you know, when Jesus was born, he wasn't after Mary. He was after Jesus. Isn't that right? When he was a baby. You say the same thing here, only this is not a baby. This is the overcomers, the mature sons of God, the overcomers that the devil wants to destroy just as quick as they're born. But in that time zone, now listen, in that time zone of the stars falling here, we see the man-child being raised up. So somebody is coming down and somebody's going up. Who can hear that? Now let's go to Isaiah 9. We'll come right back here. Hallelujah. I had two messages for tonight, this one and on the soul. And our brother here got on the soul yesterday, and you stirred me up, brother. Praise God. In Isaiah 9, look at verse 14. Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel, how many believe we're Israel today? Head and tail, there's the word tail, branch and rush in one day. And the ancient and the honorable, he's the head, and the prophet that teaches what? Come on. Lies, he's the what? Come on. Tail. So, what is one of the instruments Satan's going to use to bring stars down? Lying prophets. Now, if there's lying prophets, how many believe there's also true prophets? But they're not going to bring you down. Come on, they're going to lift you up. Isn't that right? And yet, these lying prophets are going to bring people down because people follow them. Isn't that right? Now, you know, a false prophet has a large following. Isn't that right? Amen. I mean, no, it is a counterfeit actually, the false prophet is a counterfeit to the Holy Ghost. I'm going to show you this. Go over to Revelation 13. Praise God. Be through it at midnight, Bill. Revelation 13. I want to show this false prophet. Now, this is not just one man. It's a ministry that's arising at the end of this age. And our sister has come up with some against some of these things in our deliverance meetings. Chapter 13, look in verse 11. Now the first beast come up out of the sea, which was the beast there in chapter 13, verse 1. But verse 11, here's the second beast. I beheld another beast coming up out of the carnal realm, out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb. Notice that. He looked like the lamb. These horns looked like the lamb. But notice he spoke like a dragon. He had dragon breath. Hallelujah. I mean, it's never changed. Amen. Now watch verse 12. He exercised all the power of the first beast before him. This false prophet has the same power as the beast. I mean, the Holy Ghost has the same power as Jesus. Who heard that? Now, it says something else here. And causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast. How many of the Holy Spirit draws us to Jesus, points us to Jesus, and exalts Jesus, and causes us to worship Jesus? And whose deadly wound was healed? Verse 13. He does great wonders in so much that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. But I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost is not a show-off. He does miracles. He does it when he has to do it. Amen? He doesn't do it to show off. Amen? Verse 14. And notice what this false prophet does. He deceives them that dwells on the earth by the means of those miracles. The Holy Ghost never deceives us. Yes. Which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by sword. And what? Did live. Notice that again. He notice what it says, that they should make an image to the beast. How many know we're to come into the image of Jesus? Same word. It's not a statue, brother, I'm talking about. Listen, God, just as we're coming into the image of Jesus, there's a people coming into the image of Satan and the false prophet and the beast as well. Now look here. In verse, what verse did I stop? 14. and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, right? Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should not make an image, that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound of the sword and did live. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the beast, image of the beast should be killed. And how many know the Holy Spirit has given us life and power to come into the very image of Jesus himself? When he shall appear, we shall be like him. Isn't that right? Praise God. Sometimes this false prophet is real at the end of the age. And you're going to face it. I'm going to face it. And we're going to have to face it head on. Amen? Amen. I could talk about not only this tail being the false prophet and the beast. I could talk about the flesh. I could talk about the world. I could talk about a lot of things that's with that ministry of the false prophet there. Or that tail ministry, excuse me. That's the tail of the dragon. I mean, know also that a false prophet was well spoken of. I mean, know there's ministers in the land that are exalted to high heaven. Not Jesus. Amen? I mean, a false prophet brings the spirit of the world into the church. 1 John chapter 4. And how many know we need to rid of that stuff? Amen? So this thing is real, brother. It's not something I'm just saying off the top of my head. Let's go back to chapter 12 now. Now notice, he stands before the woman. And at the time he stands before the woman to devour this child, those stars are falling. Two things are going to happen. There's going to be a falling away, and yet there's going to be a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost to get the harvest in. Can you say amen? I know some of these teachers don't believe that. I heard a man just recently on television said, it's falling away, bit's not right. You better go back and read the Bible. Jesus spoke up in Matthew 24. Come on, Laodicean church, it's there. It's right here. As many scriptures we can look at. But yet, on the other hand, God's pouring out His Spirit, isn't He? And I'd rather be in the outpouring than the falling away, wouldn't you? And I want to tell you something. That falling away in 2 Thessalonians 2 is not the rapture like they teach. How many have ever heard them teachers lately say that? Some of the faith teachers come out and say that the apostasy is the rapture, and they're lying. It is not. It is not a rapture. It is a falling away from the faith. It means to defect from the truth. And there's two ways we do that. By leaving Jesus, and number two, by knowing what God requires of us, and we back off and will not go on and pursue it. Who heard that? And there are people preaching, ministers preaching, and there are people that see a lot, but they will not go on. How many know there's a cost of this thing? It may cost your ministry, your church, your home, whatever. How many know there's some people paying a price today if you're going to go on with God? All right, chapter 12 now. He said in verse 4 again, he was going to devour this child as soon as it was born. That word born is the birthing of the soul. We've been birthed in our spirit. How many know God wants this soul saved? And born or delivered, whatever. I mean, there's many things we could talk about here. I could go right here and go and teach on the soul. Verse 5, she brought forth a man-child who was to rule or shepherd all nations. Come on, with a rod of iron. Now, this is not a staff, but a rod of iron. The iron speaks of the spirit rule. I mean, the Holy Ghost is going to rule through a people. And notice what it says. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. That word caught up is, the word there is hapazo, I believe it is. And it means to seize. It's the same word where Paul was caught up to the throne, to the third heaven. And so this man-child is caught up. This is not a rapture. He's still here on the earth. He's still in the flesh and blood body. But he's caught up in a realm, a higher realm above the forces of Satan. How many want to go higher tonight? Praise God. How many know John was caught up to the throne, and his body was still on the Isle of Patmos? John wants to catch us up. How many know Jesus walked here and he lived there? Yes. That's what he wants in you and I. Now notice here, she brought forth a man-child who was to rule, literally shepherd all the nations. Let's see who this is. Revelation 2. Let's turn to Revelation 2. Verse 26. Praise God. And here it tells us who's going to rule with a rod of iron. And he that overcometh and keeps my works to the end, to him will I give power over what? The nations. And he shall rule them, the nations, with what? Now who's going to do that? The overcomer. Notice, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, And I will give him, the overcomer, the morning star. And he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Praise God. So, that man-child in chapter 12, verse 5, is the overcomer that's going to be caught up to the throne. And how many know they're going to rule under and with Jesus? How many know where to grow up in the head will never be the head? He'll always be the head. Come on, he'll always be the preeminent one. He'll always be the exalted one. Jesus, our Lord. Amen? Caught up to God. Caught up to God. Who is God? God's a spirit, isn't he? He's a consuming fire. He's light. He's love. He's the Word. He's the kingdom. I mean, we're caught up into that realm. Hallelujah. Now, verse 6, chapter 12. Now, notice here. The woman fled into the wilderness, her testing time. In the Song of Solomon twice, it talks about a people coming up out of the wilderness. Remember that? And it talks about a people leaning upon their beloved. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Somebody's about ready to come out of that wilderness, and somebody's getting ready to go into it. Which choice you want? I hope I'm coming up out. Amen. Leaning upon him. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because I tell you, if you're not going through some tribulation now, you will be if you're going to be a son. Can you say amen? Jesus is example. The Holy Ghost led him there. It wasn't the devil took him there. The Holy Ghost led him into the wilderness. And the Holy Ghost is going to lead you and I into our testings, isn't he? But how many know he'll stay right with us? He'll not forsake us. Can you say amen? And he'll bring us through. We don't get in a rut. We come right on through. Amen. Now, verse 6 says, the woman fled where? Into the wilderness where she has a place prepared of God. And some preachers, they don't believe that God takes us through anything. But how many know he does? I don't believe that kind of preaching. I believe the preaching I believe is you're going to go through some testings to be a son. Amen? Jesus, again, is our example. He paid the price. Hallelujah. And I believe we will be tested, but he'll deliver us out of every test if we're faithful to him. And walk up right before him. Can you say amen? And listen to the Holy Ghost. How many know if we'll listen to him, we can avoid some snares, come on, and some trouble. Isn't that right? Amen. Now, notice what it says here. That they, the word they is the man child in verse 5, that they should feed her there 1,203 score days, which is 3.5 years. So she's going to be nourished by the man child, the overcomers, the church, this woman that we're talking about right here that was overshadowed by the son. She's going to bring forth this son, and yet she's going to go into the wilderness. Now, let me know there's going to be people that's in the woman and the bride of Christ going to break forth in the sonship, and some won't at this time. You heard what I said. Some are going to break forth in the sonship at this time, and some won't. Now, I can't tell you who's going to be in that. Let me know that's up to the Lord and those he's called. Isn't that right? Praise God. But whatever group we're in, we've got to be faithful to the Lord. Isn't that right? Amen. And we're not exalting anybody here, but I'm just saying there's some will break in the sonship. Today, we're in the woman. Maybe, I'm just using this for an example. Tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, somebody will break into sonship. But we're not there yet. You know why we're not there? If we're there, there'll be some changes all of a sudden. Not only in this meeting here, but even out there, something start happening. Let me believe that. But when it happens, you know what the sign of the tribulation is? It is not earthquakes. It is not war. It is not even persecution, although those things will be happening. Turn to Revelation 11. Verse 1. There was given me a reed. Golden reed, actually. You study later in Revelation. Like a rod, the angel stood saying, rise and do something. Measure, come on, the temple of God. Now, don't tell me that's a Middle East temple. God wouldn't dwell in it anyway if they built it. He doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, does he? No. He said, measure the temple of God, the real temple, not made of brick and mortar. That's you and me, isn't it? And brethren, notice what he said. And the altar, a place of worship, and them that worship therein. He said, measure the temple, the altar, and those that worship. Now, I believe, let's go on down. Verse 3. I will give power to my two witnesses, my two martyrs. They shall prophesy 1,203 score days, clothed in what? Sackcloth. Sackcloth represents intercession. It speaks of mourning. It speaks not moaning, but mourning. There's a difference. It's a people crying out to God, like Nehemiah and others in the Old Testament. But in verse 3, God said, I'm going to give power. Now, this, I believe, is the fullness of God coming into his overcomers at this time. So the sign I'm looking for myself, for the tribulation to start, is to see the people of God rise up in fullness with full authority and full power and see the works of Jesus again in the earth. That's what I'm looking for. And I'll tell you something else. I mean, the devil does bring tribulation against the church. But I'm going to tell you something. These overcomers are going to bring tribulation on the world as Moses and Elijah did. Somebody say amen. At God's command. Not at our command. At God's command. At God's command. They're going to bring tribulation upon this world. But how many know you can't come to that place until God has emptied you and I of everything? Come on, amen. And we are a pure vessel that he can flow into and through. Can you say amen? Anybody want to get there? Go to Zechariah 4. Hallelujah. How long been going? 45? Praise God. Zechariah 4. Now look in verse 10. Sometime you need to read this whole chapter. Well, let's go back to verse 6. Actually, chapter 4, verse 6. Let me show you this verse here. Then he answered and spake to me, saying, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Notice two words there, word and spirit. How many see that? Or we would say today, the anointed word. I believe the two prophets are the anointed word, are the word and the spirit. I mean, when Jesus in the book of Acts, right at chapter 1, verse 1, Luke wrote of all the things concerning Jesus that he began to do and teach. How many have ever read that? It wasn't all doing. It wasn't all teaching. But it was doing and teaching. Right there you got the Spirit and you got the Word. Balance. Somebody say balance. All right, now, look in verse 10 of chapter 4. Who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. With those seven eyes, seven's perfection, all seeing, all discernment. I mean, the seven spirits of God still working today in our favor. Hallelujah. And they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Then answered I and said to him, what are these two olive trees? Upon the right side of the candlestick. Now, the candlestick represents the church or the lampstand. And on the left side. So one on the right, one on the left. And I answered again and said to him, what be these two olive branches which threw the two golden pipes? Now you got the golden lampstand, you got the golden oil, and you got the golden pipes. How many know gold's his nature? And oh glory, hallelujah. It said, which threw the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves. But where's this oil going? It's going into the lampstand. It's going into the candlestick. It's going into the church. You cut off the prophets from your church and you'll cut off revelation. I mean, we need some prophets to come in the churches. Come on, amen? And to bring some fresh revelation from the Holy Ghost. We need all the ministers. I'm not exalting one above another. But we need some prophets to come and speak the word of the Lord. Amen. From the book, can you say amen, as well as by revelation. Now, notice what it says here. To empty the golden oil out of themselves. So as we see here, these prophets are full of the oil. The nature of God is being poured into the church. And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. What are these? Is what he's saying. And he said, these are the two anointed ones that send by the Lord of the whole earth. But if you got the Hebrew, it will say the two sons of fresh oil. They're sons of God, full of fresh oil, pouring it into the church of Jesus Christ. Now, you know what this picture is right here? This is a picture of Revelation 12:6. What did it say? The woman went where? Where'd she go to? The wilderness. And it said, they feed her. They nourish her. That's a picture right here of this scripture. Pouring into the woman revelation and truth to get her ready. You know what they're doing? They're getting the woman ready for the coming of Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't that going to be wonderful? Jesus is not coming, brother, till he raises up this overcoming people. He's coming, isn't he? Thank God. He's coming in us first, isn't he? Now, you got to hear this. Christ comes before Jesus.
The anointed one comes in us first to get us ready for the man Jesus out there in the air. Amen?
Oh, hallelujah. How many is excited about this? Amen. Okay, back to Revelation now. Praise God. Revelation 12. Thank you, Jesus. So much we want to learn. We need revelation, all of them. God's beginning to show us some things, all of us. Go back to chapter 11 just a minute, though. I want to touch that. Remember in chapter 1, there's a people being measured. How many of we got to come up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? We can come through that, to that, by apostles, prophets, teachers, shepherds, and evangelists. By full ministry. Now in verse 2 of chapter 11, notice somebody's left out. Somebody's not measured. Somebody was measured in verse 1, but in verse 2. But who is measured in verse 1? Who are they? They're the worshipers, aren't they? In the outer court, you got workers. In the holy place, you got warriors. But in the holy of holies, you're going to have worshipers. Amen? But in verse 2, the court, this outer court, which is without the temple, leave it out. Measure it not, so it cannot be measured at this time. Later, you'll see there's a measurement. It is given to the heathen, or the Gentiles, or the nations. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot. How long? The holy city. Let me ask, is Hot Springs holy? Come on now. Is Tulsa, Oklahoma holy? Is natural Jerusalem holy? I mean, there's a people that must be holy. Huh? Look in Revelation 21 a minute. We'll come back here. Praise God. Revelation 21. Thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 1. It says, well, verse 2. I, John, saw the, what kind of city? Holy city. New Jerusalem. Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I mean, this is the same people I'm talking about in chapter 12. Same people. It's a bride. Then look down with me to verse 9. There came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, talking with me, saying, come hither, I will show you the bride, come on, the Lamb's wife. And notice he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, showed me that great city. Here it is, the holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. Having what? Echoing what? What did she have? Come on, the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone. That stone is Jesus, most precious. He's the most high. He's most precious. Can you say amen? Yeah. Even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. He's going to bring us to the place where there's no darkness, there's no mixture in us. Can you say amen? Amen. So, he's doing a work. Now, back to Revelation chapter 11. Again, I just look one of the, there in chapter 11, verse 2. Notice again what it says, though. The court that's without the temple, leave it out, measure it not. It's going to be trampled underfoot. How long, brethren? 42 months, 3.5 years. All right. So we've seen three things so far. We've seen the woman going to be tested 3.5 years. Right? She's going to be fed 3.5 years. And now we see here that this outer court is going to be trampled down 42 months. Now turn to Revelation 13. And verse 5, we see something here. And we could take this from and go to Daniel, but we won't tonight. But in chapter 13, verse 5, there was given to him this beast, a mouth, speaking great things. You know, I really believe the Lord spoke to me today about that beast spirit you're talking about. And I'm gonna really pursue it. That's in people. Okay? I really enjoyed what you said about that today. I noticed a mouth speaking what? Great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue how long? 3.5 years. Everybody said the tribulation 7 years. It's not. It's only 3.5 years. Jesus took the... Listen, Jesus was cut off in the midst of the week. Jesus' ministry is 3.5 years. And I believe there's 3.5 years left for this end of this age. Not seven. The Bible never says seven. For us, it's 3.5 years. See, the times, time, half a time, 1260 days are 42 months. Now look at this verse. And he opened his mouth in what? Blasphemy against God. And blasphemed his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And was given to him to make war with who? The saints, and overcome them. And yet Daniel gives us hope, because once Christ comes in that people that he's talking about here, they'll overcome him. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. Praise God. So again, I want to bring this out. The woman is tested 1260 days. The man shall feed her that time. And then we see The outer court is trampled 3.5 years, and yet we see the beast in power 3.5 years. I mean, oh, the greatest beast you're going to have to overcome is the one in you and the one in me. I mean, I can teach this beast a lot of ways. Amen? But I tell you, the biggest beast you and I have to overcome is the one right here. Isn't that right? Amen. And I can teach on that. I like to teach on that, but we won't tonight. We want Christ to come in us. Amen? All right, let's go back to chapter 12 now. Praise God. War breaks out in heaven. When the man child is born, the woman goes in her testing time. War breaks out in heaven. Again, one is going to the throne, one's coming down. Satan's being dethroned. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And we know that God's angels fight, and the overcomers fighting on the earth against these principalities and powers, and God brings them down. Verse 8, notice, they prevail not, neither was there found any place found anymore in heaven. They lost their place. Aren't you glad? Somebody's going to shout amen when it happens. I mean, oh, it's happening now, right now, actually. It's happening right now as deliverance is taking place. How many believe that? Verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, the power of His Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused him before our God day and night. He never gives up. And they overcame him, come on, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. They love not their lives to the death. I'm skipping over this stuff. I like to go on each verse. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. He's a short timer, isn't he? Verse 13, when the dragon saw he was cast to the earth, he did something. Now he wants the woman. Now he persecutes this woman, this church, that brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given, notice, two wings. It literally means the two wings of the great eagle. How many know the Lord's the great eagle? Exodus 19 tells you he bore Israel on eagle's wings. And once again, he's going to bear the church up above some of this stuff. Amen? Notice, eagle's wings. Hallelujah. That she might fly into the wilderness, into our place, where she's nourished for time, times, have a time. Notice, from the face of the serpent. And then the serpent cast out of his mouth water like flood after the woman, that she might be carried away of the flood. Look at Revelation 16. Let's look at this here. Let's look at this flood. Now, what is this flood? Is it natural water? No. No, it's a flood of filth and perversion. I like what Brother Jack talked about this morning. I appreciate that message this morning. I mean, no, perversion should never be in the church. It should never be in the bedroom. And I appreciate what Jack said. He took a stand, and I appreciate that. Chapter 16. Look at verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. Notice that, the devil. The mouth of the beast. The mouth of the false prophet. That's a false trinity, isn't it? And they are spirits of what? Devils working miracles. False miracles. False wonders. False signs. Which go forth to the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. And notice what he said. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. So out of the mouth of the dragon. How many know he is a liar and the father of lies? John 8:44 says. When he speaks lies. And yet out of their mouth are going to come frogs, which is uncleanness, perverseness. And Brother Pittman, when he was here, I heard him say, the frogs represent the most grotesque spirits there are. Amen? And they're coming out of the false trinity. And back in Revelation 20, we see that out of the serpent's mouth, that water, that flood water. How many's ever been in a natural flood? I was in it one time as a little boy. I never forget seeing all the dead animals and the filth and everything in that water. Well, that's what I see here. This flood of filth is sent out of the dragon's mouth to destroy the woman. But how many know God's going to protect her? Notice what it says. And the earth speaks of the carnal realm, help the woman. And the earth opened her mouth. Now, how all this is going to happen, God only knows the answer. And swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman. Now, notice, first of all, he stands before the woman. Then he persecutes her. Now he's really angry with her, isn't he? Because God takes her into a higher dimension. I mean, those wings speaks to the mind of Christ, those eagle's wings. Do you know that?
And how many know there's a balance there? Two, you can't fly with one wing, can you, as a bird? No, there's a balance. Now look at this last verse. The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war, come on, with the remnant of her seed. What seed did she bring forth in verse 5? The man-child. The man-child. Now, I wrestled this verse for years. And a minute another brother used to travel with me, used to argue with this verse. But I guarantee you, this remnant here of her seed, that word remnant means the rest of her seed. Actually, but it says remnant. I like King James. The remnant of her seed, which she keep the commandments of God and what else? Now, notice, they keep the commandments and have the testimony. Now, all right, turn to Revelation 22. I'll show you part of that verse. I went into this in depth when I was in Macon here a while back and taught that verse. But in chapter 22, verse 14, how many want to keep his commandments tonight? He said, blessed are they that do his commandments. Here's why. That they, those that do his commandments, may have the right or the authority or the privilege to the tree of life. How many want that tonight in your life? And what else? And that they may enter into the gates into the city. And 12 gates is what we enter into. And how many know 12's divine government that'll lead you into the city of God? Hallelujah. Now notice, he said we'll be blessed if we do his commandments, that we may have that authority to that tree of life. Turn to Revelation 2:7. Let's see who it is. Let's see who keeps his commandments. Revelation 2:7. Right here it is. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of something. What is it? Which is in the midst of the paradise of God. I'll tell you who will keep the commandments of God and who will do them will be the overcomers. They'll partake of the tree of life and they'll enter the city of God. What am I saying? They'll enter the fullness of God. How many of those 12 gates speaks of 12 experiences in your soul, in you, that God is doing? And brethren, you not only have the city, the holy city, but how many know there's a wall around that city? This high, a high wall. Isn't that right? Great and high. And in Genesis, you had a woman. Revelation, you have a woman. You had a man in Genesis. You have a man in Revelation. There was a tree of life in Genesis. There's one in Revelation. There's a river in Genesis. There's a river of life in the book of Revelation. But there's something in Revelation that was not in Genesis. There was a wall. Amen? Around the city. And the way I teach it is this. The wall, the city is the bride, and the wall are the sons of God that protect her. Hallelujah. And I tell you, God is raising up his sons. And you say amen. Now, go back to Revelation. One other thing, and I'm done. I'm not asking you to believe anything I say. If you don't understand it, put it on the shelf. Somebody said, my shelf's sagging already. Hallelujah. Mine sagged too. Revelation chapter 12, the last verse again. The dragon was wroth with the woman, went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now notice here, the dragon stands before this woman, mad at the woman, and goes to make war with that remnant. Turn to Revelation 11:7. Here's your answer right here. Not till the people finish the will of God. I mean, I believe there's going to be some people lay their life down. We don't want to talk about that, but it's true. 11:7. And when they shall have finished, come on, their what? Their testimony. Not only do they keep the commandments, but they finish their testimony. How many know Jesus said, it's finished? Paul said, I finished my course. Hallelujah. And these are going to finish their testimony. The beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome and kill them. And how many know their body is going to be in the streets, not just in Jerusalem, worldwide for 3.5 days. But how many know after 3.5 days, that's the principle of Lazarus that Jesus raised him the fourth day. How many know when you go past 3, you're in day 4? And how many know the Spirit of God is going to enter into them and they're going to stand up on their feet? And great fear is going to grip the world when this happens. And they're going to hear a voice which says, come on up, boys. Ascend. Huh? And they heard a voice which said, come up hither. That's what John heard in chapter 4. Come up hither. Listen now. Listen. I'm going to close with this. Jesus is the only one who ever ascended to heaven. He took the saints with him. Enoch was translated. God took him. It says God took him. David and all the other saints were taken, we know, to paradise, to the third heaven. But there's never been anybody ascend to heaven except Jesus. And right here, these will follow the pattern all the way. Because the Spirit of life will enter them, and they will ascend right in front of their enemies. Hallelujah. How many know this glorious time's coming for the people of God? So what if they cut your head off? How many know you wouldn't know anything about it anyway? You'd be right there with him. Praise God. Their bodies would be on the street 3.5 days. But how many know 3.5 days they're going to come back and pick their heads up and go start the resurrection? Huh? You read Revelation 11, verse 15. It's the seventh trumpet. It's when it's going to happen. Praise God. Got any questions, what I've said tonight on this subject? Anybody got a question? Glenn can answer all of them. Anyone got a question? Everybody understood every bit of it? Okay. You got a question? Shoot. On what we said tonight. Anyone? Praise God. Okay, let's stand. Praise God. If you have a question, come up afterwards and we'll discuss it with you. Hallelujah. How many is the first time you've heard this? Raise your hand. Praise God. How many is open to the Holy Ghost? He's the teacher. That which witnessed to your heart, keep it. Amen? If you didn't understand it, go back in the Word and study it yourself. I mean, we've took man's word too long for everything. We need to get in the book ourselves. Isn't that right? We had a saying in Bible college. I didn't go through the book went through me. We need to let the book go through us. Amen? Let's praise him. Father, we thank you. We give you praise tonight, Lord, of all you said and done tonight. We believe you gave us this word tonight to share. And we thank you, Lord. We give you praise for those that could hear it, Lord. And even those that did not understand it, Lord, we just pray for their understanding, that you would begin to open it up and give them illumination in the Holy Ghost. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for this campground. We thank you for the fivefold ministry that you bring here, Lord. Lord God, we thank you for the apostles and prophets and teachers, shepherds and evangelists. And we ask your hand to be upon each one here tonight. Lord, upon the meeting tomorrow and upon those who will travel back home by the airways and by car. Lord, just be with us and direct us and guide us. We ask, Father, for your mercy. And we ask that you'd lead and direct each one of us here, Lord God, and that you'd give us direction from the Holy Spirit. And, Lord, make this word come alive in this hour to our hearts. We thank you for that. We thank you for the teacher, the Holy Spirit, tonight, that's teaching us and speaking things to our hearts. Bless all the ministries that are here, Lord, each one that has ministered and poured out their heart and poured out their life for this people. God, bless them. Bless their ministry. Bless their families, bless their churches, Lord, and increase, Lord, your life into them and your knowledge, Lord. We thank you for the minister of deliverance and the minister of the end time. In Jesus' name, and we all said, amen. You know, brethren, God showed me that it's like two hands put together. God showed me in a dream that the end time message and deliverance go together. I mean, no, if you're going to get delivered, you got to grow up and be a son. And if you're going to be a son, you got to get deliverance. We need both. We need both those ministries. Somebody say amen. Praise God. I don't feel to minister in prophecy tonight, but I feel we've had some prophecy. Hallelujah. And so, you want to close or what? In the morning, 6 o'clock, Brother Doc will be here. Those who want to come and pray with him. Anybody has a question or something afterwards, come up and I'll meet with you. Father, we thank you again tonight for this word. And again, Lord, bless your people as they go their way. We ask the Holy Spirit to help them, to encourage them. And Lord Jesus, speak this word into their hearts. Illuminate it, God. Even cause it to grow and multiply, we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name. He said,
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.